Wednesday nights as well. So I want to encourage you, if you are not joining us on Wednesday nights, it's a great opportunity to hear that special music again during that time as well. So always a good time to do that. Before we get into the message today, I wanted to take just a moment. We're going to watch a short clip. And that clip is a video that I just received this morning, and Norabel Hitu had forwarded it to me, and it is from the Church in the Mountains. Now, if you remember the genesis of this, there were a couple of Sunday school classes. Norabel and her family have actually been sending things to the Church in the Mountains for years now. And so a couple of Sunday school classes kind of caught the vision for that too and said, yes, we want to be a part of that. And the stuff that they collected and they sent is actually already there. But the stuff that you collected is getting ready to ship out. So the church-wide stuff that we collected, I had the opportunity yesterday to pray over it after all those things were boxed up. Huge boxes, multiple huge boxes that are getting ready to go. Now that will take 3 months to get there, but when it does, it's going to be an incredible blessing. So in just a second, we are going to watch this clip, and I am going to tell you right now, at the end of the clip, the pastor of the Church in the Mountains begins to speak. He's speaking in Tagalog, which is the native tongue there, and my translator is not in the room right now. So, but I am told that he is very thankful for what was received, and that's just what he's communicating. But you'll hear it from a couple of other sources as well. So let's watch this clip.
Good afternoon here in the Philippines. Greetings from Sovereign State Church and led by Pastor Ray. We would like to thank or extend our happiness and gratitude to Norabel and the church, Five Fox Baptist Church, for sharing your blessings to our brothers and sisters and the kids here in the Philippines, especially in the mountain, together with the family of Tio Beltran. We would like to thank you for your generosity, for sharing your blessings, and for more blessings to come, we would like to express our gratitude. And for more info, we'd like to talk to Pastor Ray, who would like to share your thoughts. I would like to extend your gratitude to the church.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Dihan kayo salamat sa inyong pagpagamit sa kuan maong kining untang pag-share sa inyong kanang blessing diri sa amo, no, nga rin sa mga kabataan. Dako mi pasalamat diha sa Ginoo nga usapon mo nga gigamit aron nga mga kabataan maka hibalo o mamatuto nato sa pulong sa Ginoo. God bless.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you. And then would like children, okay? We just say thank you and be ready, okay? We'll count 1, 2, 3. And then you say, salamat mga sponsors and God bless you. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Salamat mga sponsors, God bless you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
It is so great to be able to see what your giving can do, and that's one of those areas where you're able to see what your giving can do. There are lives that are being transformed. People are coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior through that ministry, and we are excited about that and glad that we can be a part of it, not just through what we did a few weeks ago, but also now through what is going to take place in Vacation Bible School, and we're excited about that. Now, I want you to take your Bibles, if you have them today, John chapter 8. If you do not have a Bible, but you have a smartphone or a tablet, there's a QR code on the back of your bulletin or where the notes page is for your bulletin. Just scan that QR code. It'll take you to a digital version of these notes that you can use. John chapter 8, as we come together to hear what the Word of God has to say for us this week after July the 4th, And I want to read one verse by way of introduction, and we're going to be looking at actually most of the surrounding part of this passage too. But just to get our minds, to get our hearts going in the same direction, let me read verse 32 for us today. I want you to listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." In other words, there is no true freedom apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Liberty and freedom and God should always be uttered in the same breath. As a matter of fact, we have a song that we sing this time of year, "Our Father's God to Thee, Author of Liberty." The writers of the Declaration of Independence did the same thing when they said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by," and then here's the phrase, "endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And of course, Jesus does the same thing right here in our text. Now, just to be honest, Jesus wasn't talking here about political freedom. He was talking about spiritual freedom. But this is interesting because the Jews thought he was talking about political freedom. They didn't understand what he was talking about. They say in verse 33, "We're Abraham's descendants and we've never been in bondage to anybody." And they say this right as they are at that time struggling under the Roman Empire. They say they've never been in bondage to anybody, and they are in the process right then and there of being in bondage. Folks, that happens all the time. I talk to people all the time. I see people on the news or on TV all the time, just out when you're people watching all the time, who love to loudly proclaim their freedom when they are in bondage. It happens all the time. And so it happened to the Jewish people. You know, a lot of times when Jesus talked about spiritual things, people misinterpreted them, thought he was talking about physical things. If you remember, he talks to Nicodemus, and he gives Nicodemus that foundational and great phrase when he says, "You must be born again." Now, Jesus is talking spiritual stuff. Nicodemus doesn't get it. He says, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus says, "I'm talking to you about spiritual things, and you're not getting it." Jesus says to the woman at the well, "The water that I draw for you is going to be a well of water that springs up into everlasting life. It's going to be living water for you." And the woman at the well says, "The well's deep. You don't have anything to draw it out with. How are you going to get water?" Okay, so she's thinking on a physical plane, he's thinking on a spiritual plane. Even right after that, if you recall, Jesus talks to the woman at the well. She gets so excited when she realizes who he really is. And then she goes out and says, "Come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done. This has to be the Christ." And when she says that, she goes out in the village proclaiming him. And then the disciples come back and they say, "We need to get you something to eat. Here's some food." And Jesus makes this statement. He says, "I have food to eat that you don't know anything about." Just kind of riding on the high of being able to talk with that lady and what God did in that situation. And then the disciples turn around and say, "Did somebody get him something to eat and we don't know about it?" So they were still thinking on this physical plane. He's thinking on a spiritual plane. So Jesus is talking to this hostile group of Jews, John chapter 8. He says, "You need liberty, you need real freedom." And they said, "How can you tell us about freedom? We've never been in bondage to anybody." And Jesus says what's in our text, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So let's look at it today and kind of figure out what we're talking about when we're talking about real freedom. And I want to make sure we understand, because there are some people here this morning, maybe even people who know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you do not understand what real freedom is. Now, you know what salvation is. You understand that. You can be saved. You can know Jesus, know that you are going to heaven, but still not have an understanding of what real freedom is all about. That's what we're going to see today. So I want you to see three things about it. You've got a bulletin. It's got some notes in it. If you want to just write in, there's some blanks in your notes page. And what will go in the first one is that truth is an absolute fact. Jesus says, you will know the truth. Not you're going to know a few facts. Not, well, you'll have a little bit of knowledge. He says, you're going to know the truth. There is such a thing as truth. And I need to say that because not everybody in our world today believes that there is such a thing as truth. There's a lot of stuff going around today when you hear about my truth, your truth, she spoke her truth, he spoke his truth. We need to be able to find our own personal truth. And there is a truth that is objective, that is above us, outside us, and beyond us. We've been talking about this in Sunday school pretty much this entire quarter, looking at the book of Job. And Job seeking to find this truth that is above him, outside him, and beyond him that has to come from God. But you'll hear today people always say they do not believe there is absolute truth. I always love that because they absolutely tell you they believe there is no absolute truth. Speaking in absolutes, somebody who says, I don't believe there's any absolute truth, ask them this question. Say, okay, how much money do you make? Okay, let's say you make $3,000 every couple weeks. Okay, here's what I want to do. I want to take your check and cash it. And instead of $3,000, I'm going to give you 3,000 pennies instead. I mean, hey, it's all the same. It's 3,000. There's nothing absolute, so why not? You'll watch somebody get absolute real quick when that happens. Money is money. It is, the value of a dollar can go up and down and do things like that, but a dollar is a dollar is a dollar. It's 100 pennies, it's 10 dimes, it's 20 nickels, it's that amount of money. $10 is $10. There are absolutes in money. There are absolutes in medicine. If you have a headache, you want to go and you want to take something for your headache. You want to take maybe some Tylenol for your headache. If you have a headache and you go and you take Tums, it's not going to help your head a whole lot. Because there are medicines that do certain things. There are absolutes in medicine. And you'd better hope there are absolutes in medicine. When you go to get your prescription filled and you see those pharmacists and they are carving out that stuff and getting it where it needs to be, you better hope they are doing it right. You better hope they're going by a formula, by a standard. There are absolutes in math. 2 + 2 = 4. It isn't 5, neither is it 3. You can wish it, you can believe it, you can desire it, you can fill out a change.org petition for it to be altered, but 2 + 2 = 4. It's an absolute. There are absolutes in measurement. An inch is an inch, a foot is a foot, a meter is a meter. There's even a whole organization called the International Bureau of Weights and Measures, and their job is to make sure that a foot always equals a foot. That it is exactly what it needs to be. So let me ask you a question. If there are absolutes in all of those areas that, quite honestly, some of them are really important, some of them can even be trivial, if there are absolutes in all those areas, why are there not absolutes in the spiritual realm? Well, there absolutely are. Because the same God who made the physical also made the spiritual. The same God who made matter also makes your soul. The same God who determines how long a day is going to be, that it's going to be 24 hours, has also determined and declared what is right and what is wrong. There is truth. There's an absolute fact. Now, Satan denies this. If you remember in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, he comes to Eve and he says, has God really said? Surely you don't believe there's such a thing as the truth of God. God really has revealed his truth to us in three different ways. If you look in the Bible, when you talk about truth, foundationally, first of all, truth is found in a person. It's found in the person of Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the embodiment of truth, in other words. John 1:17, you go back to the beginning of John's gospel, and it says that the law came through Moses. Then there's this great part of the verse that says, grace and truth were revealed in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the truth. Secondly, the Word of God is the truth. Your Bible, the Bible that you are holding right now, or the Bible that you are looking at with your digital device right now, that is truth. John chapter 17, Jesus says, sanctify them through your truth. And then he tells you what truth is. He says, your word is truth. Not just your word is true. Make sure you understand that. The question is not, is the Bible true? It is the embodiment of truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth. Jesus says, your word is truth. The word of God is true. Then 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says, the Spirit is the truth. So there is God the Son, God the Spirit, and the word of God, and all of them always work together. I hear people and they'll say things to me, and anybody who has been in ministry has heard similar things. You have somebody who comes up to you and says, oh, pastor, God's telling me to do something. And then what they proceed to say is something that's completely opposite of what the Word of God says is the will for their life. Oh, hey, God's telling me to do this. God's telling me that I need to leave my spouse. God's telling me I need to start a relationship with this other person. God's telling me I need to tell off my employer. God's telling me I need to do these things. The Holy Spirit does not lead you to do that. An unholy spirit might lead you to do that. But the Spirit of God and the Son of God and the Word of God always work together. They don't ever contradict each other. Whatever began by the Spirit of God that is working in your life will be complemented by the Word of God and will bring glory to the Son of God, because that's the way they are designed to work. The Holy Spirit came to glorify Jesus and to teach the Bible. Truth is an absolute fact. But maybe you say, how can you know anything for sure? I don't think anything is really just that plain, one side or the other. Listen, if you believe something that's contrary to God's word, you are not believing what is true. If you believe something that is contrary to God's Son, you're not believing what is true. If you believe something that is contrary to God's Spirit, you are not believing what is true. And the reason our world is in a lot of the mess that it is in today is because people have gotten away from the truth. Truth is an absolute fact. It is there. He says, you will know the truth. Second thing I want you to see, though, truth is an absolute fact, but it can also actually be found. You can know it. You will know the truth, he says. Truth isn't something that's hidden. It's not something you've got to scratch around and dig for. You know, it's interesting. One of our themes here for Vacation Bible School is talking about being treasured, but it is this idea of a treasure hunt. And so when you go on a treasure hunt, you are looking for something valuable. If you look in Scripture, you don't have to look far before you understand the truth can be found and the truth can be known. Now, philosophy can tell you a lot of times that truth can't be known completely. I've quoted for you before Jerry Vines, what he says about philosophy. He says, philosophy's like a blind man in a windowless, pitch-black room at midnight searching for a black cat that isn't really there. Now, when you think about that, that's really philosophy. It's just trying to grasp at making sense in this world, in some ways without God. Now, there is Christian philosophy, and that's good. As a matter of fact, if you are a new believer, I would encourage you to get a hold of some good Christian philosophy to frame a Christian worldview for it. But the Bible says that truth can be known. This word know right here in your text, there are two different Greek words for know. This one is the word, it's called gnosko. It's where we get our word Gnostic or Gnosticism, but that just means unknowable, so it's a whole different thing. But when it says gnosko, what that means is this. It means that there is a knowledge that is available, and it is a knowledge that will come down deep in your soul so you can absolutely know that it is true. We are going on vacation. We're going to the beach and we're going to be fishing, and I want to try to catch some flounder. I've been watching YouTube videos about how to catch flounder, okay? And so they're giving me all this advice, and you look at this advice and some of it looks like really good advice. And so I'm talking about different rigs with the boys and stuff like that and saying, okay, well, this rig looks like this will work. And so now I know at this point how to do this rig, okay? Know completely how to do this rig. What I don't know is whether or not it's going to catch any fish, okay? Now, but I know how to do the rig. That's a difference in knowledge that is very important. There is a knowledge that knows facts, but then there is a knowledge that knows that the facts will lead to a successful application. Not everybody who says, I believe, really believes that Jesus was born of a virgin, that Jesus died on the cross. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I believe in the truth. Not everybody who says those things is genuinely born again. If I understand the Bible correctly, know right here involves commitment in your life. It means when Jesus says you will know the truth, it means you are stepping into the truth and you are walking in the truth of what God has given to you. It's whatever you yield yourself to, submit yourself to, it controls you. If you yield yourself to alcohol, alcohol will control you. If you yield yourself to the love of money, money will control you. If you yield yourself to lust, lust will control you. And if you yield yourself to truth, truth can control you. Now remember back, we talked a few minutes ago about how God reveals himself in three different ways through truth. His Son is truth, his Word is truth, and his Spirit is truth. God gave us those three in three different ways on purpose because they each apply to what is called the tripartite composition of man. You are not just a body walking around. You are a body, a soul, and a spirit. Okay, and because of those things, you relate to God in a different way from each one of those. God gave me his word as truth. I have a book that with my mind I can study. God has given me his Son as truth. I have a person that in my heart I can love. And God has given me his Holy Spirit as truth. He has the power for me to do what is true. So in every one of those aspects, what I think, what I feel, and what I do, intellect, emotion, and will, I can be completely controlled by the truth. There are a lot of people in a lot of churches that have a lot of head knowledge of the truth, but then they have no love in their heart. There are a lot of people who have a lot of love and they just want to go around and love everybody, but it's not a love that's grounded in truth. And so when somebody is doing something that they're not supposed to do, nothing's ever made of it because, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings, I just want to love. So love and truth have to be tempered. And then there are times when you know what is true to do and you have in your heart a love and a desire to do it and you just don't do it. So there also has to be that will that gets you up and gets you going on it. The Word of God always leads us to the Son of God, inevitably. When you read the Word of God, it will lead you to Jesus. You look all through Scripture at when people are divining and rightly pulling apart Scripture, they take it and it leads directly to the cross. And it leads directly to Jesus. Jesus did that with his disciples. Jesus told his disciples what was going to happen to him before it ever happened. He would gather them and he would say, the Son of Man is going to be handed over to the chief priests. They're going to try him. They're going to crucify him. But on the third day, he will rise again, just as the prophets have said. That's the Christian life. The Christian life isn't just saying that you believe with your mind a body of doctrine. The Christian life isn't just living on some kind of emotional high all the time. And the Christian life isn't just do. With your mind, you learn the truth. With your heart, you love the truth. And with your will, you do the truth. That's what discipleship is all about. In our discipleship, those of you who are Sunday school teachers, make sure that you are touching all of those areas, that you're giving people something in their mind, that you're giving people something in their heart, and that you're giving people something then that they can do. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth can be known. You say, then why don't I know the truth? Maybe it's because you've never genuinely been born again. Maybe it's because God has never revealed his truth to you because the Holy Spirit is not living inside of you. Remember, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, the Bible says. If you want to know the truth of God, you need the Holy Spirit's help to help you. And by the way, let me say this. If you want to understand proper interpretation of Scripture, you need Scripture and you need the Holy Spirit, and that is all you need. You don't need someone else to help you, although other people can be helpful. But if you are alone with your Bible, you have everything that you need if you are a believer in Jesus to discern and to do the will of God for your life. Truth can actually be found. Third thing I want you to see, truth acted on brings freedom. Truth acted on brings freedom. The truth will make you free. When you know the truth, when you obey the truth, it makes you free. Now, when I talk about freedom, I'm not talking about, woo, I don't have any rules. I'm not talking about freedom, which is a rebellion or an anarchy or something like that. I'm talking about true spiritual freedom that uses the Word of God and the Spirit of God as guide rails that keep you right where you need to be. So you are free to do what is right. Originally, that's how man was created. Maybe you've asked yourself the question before. Why does God put man in a garden that even has a tree he's not allowed to eat from? Why even do that? You know, why even say of every tree in the garden you can freely eat, but of the tree in the middle of the garden, don't eat from it. In the day you eat from it, you will die. Why even do that? Well, here's the thing. God realized that his word spoken to them brought freedom into their life, but necessary guardrails into their lives to keep them where they ought to be. See, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them to be interpreters. You are interpreters of the world around you. So the truth and the interpretation of truth are both very important. And because of that, God speaks to them and gives them something that they didn't have before. He gives them right interpretation of their world around them. In order to make any sense of anything going on outside these walls or even inside these walls, you have to have the truth of God applied in your life. But then there's the side that says, because we have the truth, well, we can just live however we want. We can do whatever we want, regardless of who gets hurt in the way. God's truth will always outshine the devil's lies. Whether it is leading to legalism or whether it is leading to license, God will always bring those guardrails back where they need to be. Now, what kind of freedom is Jesus talking about? He's talking about freedom from the lies of the devil. The devil is a liar. The devil is a murderer. We were, Kara and I were in with the kids on Wednesday night, and in teaching with the kids, the Bible verse that we were going through is John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "The thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come so that you might have life and have it to the full." That's why the devil came. He came to steal, to kill, and destroy. He will kill your conscience, he will kill your power, he will kill your life. But wherever there is truth, there is life. Wherever there is truth, there is freedom. So here's what he's saying to us today. How are you responding to the truth in your life? The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and shows you the Son of God. How do you respond to it? The Spirit says you must be born again. You read that on the page of Scripture and say, now what do I do with it? And the moment you say no to your own way of trying to make life work and trust Jesus Christ alone to save you, you are at that point born again because you have responded to God's truth. Jesus says, I'm not one of a lot of different ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. How do you respond to that? It is such an important question because it will determine your eternal destiny. Your body, soul, and spirit were all created to spend eternity somewhere. You will live forever and ever and ever somewhere. Heaven or hell? It's your choice in how you respond to the truth. How do you respond to the truth that God has given to you? How did they respond? That's a good question. Verse 48, look at this. Verse 48, well, first of all, they argue with him. If you look at the verses in between there, they go back and forth with him a lot about it. They discuss, they debate, they argue. And then verse 48, they say, you're a Samaritan or you have a demon. People who do not want to receive the truth love to attack the preacher. That's what happens. It happens all the time. I had a guy in my first church, and when I would be preaching, and if any of y'all have ever done this, you're going to be like, oh no, I hope he didn't see that. But there was a guy in my first church who any time I was preaching and came to a particular point he didn't like, he would start clipping his nails in the middle of church. So he would sit... right over, sorry, Darren, he was sitting like right there, okay? It wasn't Darren, okay? But he was sitting like right over there. And here it would come. And occasionally when I'm speaking, there will be a pause for dramatic effect. You pause and all of a sudden, bing, bing. You know, you hear this little noise. He's over there clipping his nails because he doesn't want to hear. And folks, listen. People do all sorts of things when they don't want to hear the truth, whether it is clipping your nails or whether it is shaking your head no or getting up and leaving or whatever it is. There are always going to be people who do not want to hear the truth, and so they attack the person who is delivering it. And the same thing will be true in your life. If you try to deliver the truth to somebody and they don't want to hear it, they're going to attack you as a result of it. You're going to hear that in your life if you try and present the gospel to somebody. So the message today goes to the very heart of this church and this surrounding community. There are not two ways about it. There is no middle ground. There are either truth or there are lies. It's either life or murder. True freedom only comes through Jesus Christ. Religion cannot give you true freedom. It is not strong enough. Philosophy cannot give you true freedom. It is not smart enough. Man cannot give you true freedom. He's not strong enough. Only Jesus can give you true freedom today. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then Jesus goes on to say, and if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes today. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to the truth in your life, to do what God is doing in your life, to be a part of where He is at work and get involved with Him. So if God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, and you're saying, you know what, I need to respond to the truth. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Today is the day when you can respond to the truth. If you're watching on our live stream today, today, in the stillness of wherever you are, you have the ability to reach out through the hand of faith, and Jesus will save you today. You do that through prayer. You call on His name. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you can pray a prayer, and I would love to lead you in that prayer. So I'm just going to lead it. If I go too quick for you, you're watching on the live stream, you have the ability to go backwards and just pick that up again. But I want to encourage you. You can just pray and say, Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know my sin has separated me from You. I know you died on the cross for my sin and proved you were God by coming back to life on the third day. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and save me today. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer on the live stream, I want to encourage you to follow up. Shoot me an email, tim@fiveforks.org. I would love to be able to follow up with you and just share in the joy of what God is doing in your life. If you're in this room today, I want to encourage you to stand for just a few minutes. And this is your opportunity to respond to the truth. Maybe you prayed that prayer today and you need to make your way into one of these four aisles and come down to the front and just say, I prayed that prayer, Pastor Tim, and it would be our privilege to rejoice with you. Or maybe you didn't pray that prayer, but you need to. And you're willing to just come down and say, Pastor Tim, I need Jesus. You don't have to worry about what to say. We will help you with that. It'd just be our privilege to lead you to faith and trust in Jesus today. Maybe today there's another need in your life. Maybe you need to be baptized. You've trusted Jesus as your Savior, but you've never followed Him in believer's baptism. Today can be the day that you step across that line and say, yes, I am willing to go public with my decision to follow Jesus. Or maybe you need to join this place, make this your place of ministry involvement. You say, you know what, I took the My Next class, or maybe you haven't yet, but you want to, and you're just willing to come and to say, yes, I want to make this my place of ministry involvement. Five Forks Baptist Church is where I need to be and where I need to be at work in this world. And we would love to talk with you about that. Maybe there's another need I haven't even touched on. Maybe you know somebody who needs the truth and you're praying for them right now and you just want to come and pray that you will be able to deliver the truth and that they will hear and respond to you in a correct way. Whatever that need is in your life, and I don't know what it is, but if God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you as we have come here today to worship and we are continuing in worship, part of worship is responding to what God wants to do. So I want to encourage you. Respond to Him. Don't wait for somebody else. You come right now as we sing.